Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you. Hour number two of Oilers Now. I'm out of the home office, the city's south side. Brendan's back at the 630 Chad Studios. The second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. In this hour, to talk about a new book that he's got out, one to remember, from Sports, as he, and he was one for you to remember. Used to be on CTV back at Edmonton during the 2000s and was a regular contributor to Trainwreck Tuesdays. We'll talk to Ken Reed. And then George LaRocque at 1:35. Do you want to mention that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse? That's the greatest steak you've ever had. Edmonton owned and operated, open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie, Taylor and the staff at Roost Chris that Oilers Now sent you. Well, back in the day, some of you old schoolers would remember a group of English actors, Oliver Reed, Peter O'Toole, Richard Harris, and Richard Burton. And these guys were from an era bygone. And they drank hard, and they lived hard. There was a book written about them a number of years ago called Hellraisers. And I will tell you right now, for me, Oliver Reed was the funniest. He had a memorable exchange with Shelley Winters, who would be akin to Roseanne Barr. In other words, a really crass, loud woman. And Reed had the ability to send a very subtle message across, and was a comedian, even though he was a major thespian. I don't know if he's a major thespian, but he's certainly a comedian, and he was probably a fan of Oliver Reed back in the day. We welcome back to the show Ken Reed. Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Hi, Bob. My only acting goes back to grade 8 Christmas play. Me and Sean McNamara acted alongside Kim Curry and Cherry Pope in a Christmas play. So that's all I got for you for thespian stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I won air guitar at Harry Ainley in grade 12. I got shot on stage as Michael Jackson.
That's awesome. And I would have pictured you more like, did you do the Eddie Van Halen solo for Beat It? Like, I would have pictured you more Van Halen, more hair metal.
We actually were quite lucky because somebody had gone out as Michael Jackson before, and then I went out as Michael Jackson, may I add, without blackface. And
yeah.
And I moonwalked. And somewhat, somewhat success. And then I got shot, and a woman came out as Lisa Duncan, and she came out as Chrissy Hines of the Pretenders, and she booted me off the stage. So we ended up winning quite decisively in terms of the. And I wondered how many times since people have been listening to the show and have wanted to boot me off the stage. But that's for another comp. Now, do you remember any of those guys? Do you ever watch any of the old video with Oliver Reed or Peter O'Toole? Oliver Reed was in, he passed away filming Gladiator, right? So he was in.
Yeah, no relation. I remember Peter O'Toole.
Yeah.
I remember Shelley Winter, so I might have to look this up. Because I've never been, unlike Oliver Reed, I've never been accused of being subtle. So it sounds like we might be a little different.
It is on YouTube. Maybe we'll get Brendan to send it out.
Okay.
Basically, Shelley Winters was politely asked a couple times to tone it down. She didn't, and she liked the drink and ended up pouring her drink all over Oliver Reed, and people were cheering. It's funny. It was in the late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. And Reed was, some might think, a little bit of a chauvinist, but I would just say he was old-fashioned for that time. Yeah. But Shelley Winters was outright, you know, she was just obnoxious.
More like Shelley Winters, to be honest.
You sound more like Shelley Winters, you think?
Yeah, obnoxious, spilling my drink. Yeah. Definitely Shelley Winters in that relationship.
See, I found once I got to about 240 pounds, I didn't spill as many drinks, just because I was carrying more weight, so I was able to absorb more.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to do Trainwreck Tuesday back in the day. Now, is your brother still a comedian?
Yeah, Pete's still a comedian, Peter Anthony. Wow, talk about an industry that's dried up, eh? Stand-up comedy. That's not happening during the pandemic, that's for sure.
Yeah, who do you like right now? Like, who are you when you go on Netflix? Is there any bit like I'm a Bill Burr guy. Okay, yeah. I'll admit that I like Bill Burr. Yeah. Who's the Australian guy? Jim Jefferies?
Yes, I love Jim Jefferies. His stuff on gun control is absolutely amazing.
Yes, that is funny.
My guy is still Bill Hicks. I would love to have seen Bill Hicks alive during what just went down in the United States. I think that would be quite interesting. I'd love to see what Bill said. When I drive home at night, I actually put on the Comedy Channel just to unwind. It's like the 20 minutes I listen to comedy a day. But I think Bill Burr is fantastic. I just love the fact that we live in this time where everybody has to, toe a line, and some of these stand-ups are still pushing it, because great stand-up comedy is about pushing it. So the people that are still pushing it, I really admire. Anybody that pushes it, I admire.
Why don't you educate our listeners on who Bill Hicks was and the connection to the David Letterman show?
Sure. I got Bill Hicks through my brother. He put me on to Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks, fantastic comedian, unfortunately passed away, I believe, in 94. Cancer, young, was in his 30s. He pushed it. He was censored by Letterman. Letterman says it's one of his regrets from the show, and Bill Hicks pushed it. It's funny, you see Dave Chappelle doing a lot of his specials now. It seems like it's more commentary than comedy, and that was Bill Hicks 30 years ago. Bill Hicks was way ahead of everybody, and if you want to see a guy that just put it out there and love me or hate me, just don't like me, that was Bill Hicks. He took no prisoners, and if you didn't like him, that was fine with him. If you liked him, that was fine with him. He wasn't out to win everybody over. He was just out to tell his truth, and he told his truth through comedy, which I totally admire.
What did you think of the Comedy Central roasts?
Loved them. Loved them. So offside. They're fantastic. I mean, I just saw Pete Davidson roast Rob Lowe the other night. It was great. It's a few years old, but I think they're fantastic, and they're not for everybody. But people tend to forget, Bob, in today's world, that you have the power to change the channel, right? You don't have to watch if you don't like it. If you don't like someone's comedy, you don't have to listen. If they don't like your show, I don't know why anyone wouldn't, they don't have to listen. People forgot that they have a remote. And if you don't like it, doesn't mean that everybody else has to hate it. And you don't have to tell somebody to shut up because you don't like them. Just don't listen. And if enough people don't listen, that'll speak.
You mentioned that Rob Lowe roast Jewel, her song. That was pretty good.
I didn't see that part.
You got to see it.
They went after it pretty good.
But isn't that
a lost art, just changing the channel and ignoring something instead of just yelling about something you don't like? If you don't like something, why are you yelling about it? Just change the channel.
Well, we're in a very intolerant time. Greg Giraldo, was Greg Giraldo your favorite roaster from that? I mean, he was not in the roast that you mentioned, but Greg had passed away by that point, but he was brilliant.
Like, that's a guy that was brilliant, but like a lot of guys that are that brilliant, there's a lot of pain going on inside.
Right.
Yeah, Giraldo's a sad story. Who's the guy that's Ross, who's on every roast? I mean,
Jeff Ross.
And Lisa Lampanelli, for me, is still the best. I'll take Lisa Lampanelli over all the roasters, although I think she's kind of calmed down with that stuff a little bit. Saw Lisa Lampanelli one night in Syracuse, New York. My wife and I just kind of stumbled upon it, and she was fantastic. So, yeah, she's my favorite roaster of all time, I would say.
One of the keys for people that are really funny is they can laugh at themselves. I mean, that
you
comes with the territory. All right?
Yep.
You got to be self-deprecating. We're joined right now by Kent Reed. So, we had you on. You had the, what was it, one game only, and now what's the newest book you got out?
Yeah, well, speaking of self-deprecation, I mean, I'm the first to admit I haven't written Harry Potter yet, right? These books aren't going to make me rich, but they're fun to do. So, a few years ago, I wrote a book. Speaking of self-deprecation as well, Bob, I'd also like to think I'm Canada's foremost slightly overweight sportscaster. You know, I'm not buff, but I think I'm pretty good. But one to remember is an offshoot of One Night Only. So when I wrote One Night Only, it was about guys who played a single game. So like any other person out there who I'm sure is listening, when I played road hockey and I shot that hard orange ball into the net, I dreamed that I was in the NHL. And wow, what would it be like to score a goal? So I ran it by our stats guy. I said, how many guys have scored just one goal? You know, and he said around 400, give or take. You know, the number can change because a guy will have one, then he'll get two. He's off the list. But I thought, that's awesome. To score the goal in the NHL is awesome. But I'm looking at it from the dreamer's perspective. So I wanted to know, what's it like to be the actual guy? Is it a dream come true, or is it just like, oh, man, I just got a taste of that. That wasn't enough. And I just started calling up guys, and I stumbled upon some fantastic stories. And I say stumbled upon because I think most of these guys have probably only told these stories to their grandkids or their brothers or their friends or, you know, a lot of them I don't think ever talked to a reporter this extensively about it.
Yeah, well, so you got, I mean, I got another one for you. Guys that played over 100 games and never scored a goal.
Yeah, there's a guy, Spring, played for the Winnipeg Jets. I couldn't track him down. He was 240 games with one goal. My buddy Gordy Dwyer, this is one. He, I believe, holds the all-time NHL. He has the most penalty minutes by everyone in the NHL who never scored a goal. So there's all kinds of weird little factoids out there.
Were you thinking of Don Spring? Is that who you were thinking of?
Winnipeg Jets, like 83-84.
You're right. You know where he played his university hockey, right?
I'm going to say the U of A.
He was the University of Alberta Golden Bear. Played for Claire Drake back in the day. Dallas.
Yeah, I tried tracking him down. Had no luck.
Dallas Eakins played 120 games in the NHL. Did not score a goal.
See, there's a book right there, right? There's another one. Like, there's all kinds of little rabbit holes you can go down to. And these books are rabbit holes. That's all they are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So give us four or five of your sort of top one goal scorers of all time, Ken.
Right. I'm going to give you from an Edmonton perspective. So I'm researching the book, and I come across the name Mike Forbes. Now, I know you will know Mike Forbes because, Bob, you know everybody, right? So my job with this book is to let the guys that you know and the guys that I may know, I want them to be a bit known by everybody. So Mike Forbes scored his one goal in the NHL with the Edmonton Oilers in 81-82. He had scored a few years before in an exhibition game with the Bruins, but his one official goal is from the Oilers. So I'm looking up this Mike Forbes guy on a list, and I see he's got one goal. I track down the date. I go to Hockey Reference, and I see his one NHL goal is assisted by Gretzky and Curry. And I'm like, oh, well, for the love of Moses, I have to talk to this guy, right? Like, if you're going to score, who better to assist on that than Gretzky and Curry? So the deal was he scored it on a power play. And, of course, when you score a goal for the Oilers in 1981, you probably think you're going to get more in that game, let alone more in the season.
Right.
And it just so happened that Mike Forbes was kind of an offensive defenseman. And he was paired with Paul Coffey, who, as you know, was the offensive defenseman. So the Oilers, a few weeks later, thinking, we need somebody to kind of steady Coffey here. You know, if Coffey's going to go, we need somebody to kind of sit back. And that's not Mike Forbes. So Mike Forbes gets sent down to Wichita. Charlie Huddy comes the other way. And yep. The rest is history. And that's it. And Charlie and Paul formed this great combination. And Mike never plays in the NHL again. So there's lots of stories like that. But, I mean, he stays involved in the game. He became a commissioner of a professional league. He coached a club team in Michigan at a college in Grand Rapids. So it's just kind of cool to see where all these guys end up. There's a lot of guys I know that you would know who came through the WHL back in the day. Jason Podolin, Kimby Daniels. You know, and like I'm looking like a first rounder. Remember Scotty Metcalf, who the Oilers took?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Scotty Metcalf never scored with the Oil, had his one goal with Buffalo, and his whole life ends up in Rochester, where he still lives, where he was in the Americans Hall of Fame.
He was tough.
He was tough.
He wasn't huge. He was like, I don't know, about 6 foot 200, but he could chuck him. He liked to get involved, and the Oilers took him in the. I think he was. Odeline was 84, so he would have been 85. So
yeah, he 85. Was like 80. Yeah, he was in around there. But there's so many guys in this book too, who just played in the wrong era, I know you love your WHL. Could you imagine Mickey DuPont playing in this era as opposed to 20 years ago?
The best example is Emmanuel Viveros. He was unbelievable in the Western Hockey League. Like, he was the CHL Player of the Year in 84-85, and, you know, he just simply was born 20 years too early. If he's the same guy coming out of the dub now, he's playing at least as a 4 or 5 offensive defenseman that's on a power play. You know?
Right, like a Christian Dubé out of Hull in the Quebec.
Sure.
He's the guy who went out to score one goal. He was CHL Player of the Year. There's all these guys. And then what really freaked me out is there's one guy who became a scientist, one guy who became a brain surgeon. That's like saying, okay, I'm doing Trainwreck Tuesday, and one day Terry Ryan and his little sidekick Kenny will be office. I mean, that's unexpected, right, Bob? You didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, and I'm sure. Lots of guys get offers to author. You just said it. There's nobody. Now, is this the fourth book you've written, Ken?
Six.
All right, what have you written so far? I know you did Marouk. You did Eddie Shack, who just passed away. You did the one game only, one night only. What was the other one? Hockey cards?
And the two hockey card books, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But let's be honest. Like, I'm playing Jeopardy with Carly here at work last night, and the authors category comes up, and I'm like, come on, man. I suck at that. Because I don't know any authors who wrote real books like Mark Twain and that stuff. I just write these little folk hero hockey books. But this one I enjoyed because it's a book for dreamers, and I got to talk to Frank Beaton and Dave Hansen, Bob. I mean, can you beat that? Like, two legendary tough guys.
It was funny because when Frank Beaton originally went from Edmonton joined the Rangers organization, he was he went from Frank never beaten.
Yeah.
To Frank, seldom beaten.
Yeah.
To Frank, often beaten. But he was a small guy. Like, he was 5'8" or 5'9", trying to fight 6'1", 210-pound tough guys.
He actually tells the story of the nickname and kind of sets the record straight. But he was small. I'll give you a little example. So Frank's from Antigonish County, Nova Scotia, where John Brophy's from, right?
Yes.
So John Brophy picks Frank up, and he says, if you come play for me, I can get you to try it with Cincinnati in the WHA. So Frank's like, awesome. But Frank had never met Brophy. So here, Beaton, I'll read you a little excerpt. Beaton made his way to training camp and met the legend himself. Here comes a quote. I checked into training camp, and I checked into my room at the hotel. Now remember, I'd never met Brophy. He'd never seen me. There was a knock at the door, so I answered the door, and Brophy was there with a guy named Ian McKinnon. So Brophy thinks he's getting a tough guy, right? Brophy looks at me and says, Frank Beaton? I had my shorts on. I was watching TV by myself in my room. I said, yeah. Brophy looked at me. I don't know what he was expecting or what he was expecting to see based on what he heard about me. But he took one look at me and said, where the F is the rest of you? Like, I mean, that's small he was. He was 175 pounds, right?
Yeah,
he fought everyone.
Yeah. Like, he fought Ben Wilson. Like, I mean,
think about that. B-E-H-N Wilson. That's the heavy of heavy.
Yeah, scary stuff. By the way, I just looked it up right now. Emmanuel Viveros, who I grew up playing against, he had 109, 88, 92 point seasons in the Western Hockey League and was a major junior player of the year in 84-85. He scored one goal in the NHL. That's it for Minnesota. So he was.
Wow.
I wish I
had him in there.
Well, he would have, trust me, he would have been easy to get hold of. So he was a star. How many? You said there's 400 guys that have got one goal?
Give or take, it's between 350 and to 400, because if a guy scores one last year and he gets another one, he's off the list, right?
Yeah.
So there's about I'd say 350 guys that are on that list for good. So, of course, I eliminated the deceased, but I wanted to talk to guys that all the way back to the original six. So we go all the way back to the original six. I mean, you don't talk to guys today who took their last year of major junior off to go become a priest, but I talk to guys like that. That man's name was Mr. Les Kozak, and he went on to become a scientist. He's taught at LSU. He's lectured at universities in Poland. He works at a laboratory called the Jackson Institute in Bar Harbor, Maine, and once upon a time he scored a goal, which I think, my whole thing is how removed, for some guys that goal is so far removed from who they are now.
Right.
And for other guys, it's such a special thing. And for some guys, like I know you and I, Bob, if we scored a goal in the NHL, me and you probably go get tattoos. Some of these guys don't care. Like, it's just like, yeah, it was nice, but whatever. I'd have a tattoo. I know I would.
Yeah. I'm not big on tattoos. My theory is, you know, I screw with perfection. But
That's a good theory.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. So you did all this work. Who do you think was the best player that only scored one goal?
Okay. In my book, best player who only scored one goal, I'm going down the list right now. I am going to go with a guy named Darren Haydar. Haydar was a scoring machine in the American League. Quit playing around 2008, 2009.
See with Atlanta?
Yes, Atlanta. Thanks, Bob. Exactly. Yeah. Just too small. And that's just when the small guys started to come in. And every guy I've talked to about Darren Haydar, who played with him or against him, was just cannot stop talking about the guy. He's just amazing player, so smart, brilliant on the ice. So I'm going to go with Darren Haydar as the best guy in there in terms of players. If Darren Haydar was in the NHL today, he'd easily be a top six guy. He'd definitely be on your first or second power play, and he'd be racking up his fair share of points for you.
Yeah, he had 11 years in the minors between the well, I guess all of it was at the AHL at that point because the IHL had folded. But he played in former IHL markets like Chicago with the Wolves. Mm-hmm. He was a pretty good, legitimate first-line player in that league for 11 seasons.
So, yeah, Wolves just retired his jersey last year. And then there's a guy like Kimby Daniels, right, whose rookie cards I ordered. I thought he was going to be the man. He banged his knee up early and played till he was 35, but just wasn't fast enough for the NHL anymore.
Was he on the 89 Swift Current team? The one that
he was
on that Memorial Cup team, eh? Great stuff.
He was.
All right, here's the sales part. How do people access, get hold of the book, Ken?
Okay, you ready, buddy? Okay. One to Remember by Ken Reed with a foreword by Colby Armstrong. One to Remember, stories from 39 members of the NHL's One Goal Club. Available right now at Amazon.ca. Please leave a review and find bookstores everywhere. Support your local bookstore because your local bookstore supports you. How's that, Bob?
That's pretty good. I think Bill Hicks might take a shot at you for that, but it was pretty well done.
Yeah, he didn't like doing commercials, did he?
No, he'd be right out of the John Cusack school from Say Anything.
So, yeah, he would not be enthralled by these commercials going on.
No,
but
not
thanks,
at all.
Bob. So your copy's sitting at the offices as soon as you get out of your house and they allow you back to work.
Okay. Well, they're trying to keep me away as long as possible. So there you have it. Awesome stuff. Go watch Oliver Reed and Shelley Winters from Jimmy Carson. Johnny Carson.
See you, Bob.
All right, take care, Ken. That is Ken Reed, NHL Hockey on Rogers and Sportsnet. Was in Edmonton sort of 2005 to, I don't know, about 2008. Real entertaining guys. Now he's, a 5 or 6-time author? Good for him. We'll have lots still coming on the show today, including George LaRocque. But at this time, we're going to go to the Oilers Now Prospect Report for James H. Brown, Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, see the best player the U of A produced over the last 30-plus years? You know, was an all-star multiple times in the Canadian Football League, won a Grey Cup. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, and a group at James H. Brown want you to stay safe and stay positive. With the Prospect Report, here's Brendan Escott.
Okay, on Thursdays, we take sort of a 30,000-foot look at Oilers properties sprinkled throughout Europe's smaller leagues, including Switzerland, where Gaetan Haas and Ryan McLeod have been seeing action. Haas with a goal in 7 games. McLeod, 2 goals, 3 helpers, and 8 contests. Tyler Benson is playing in the second Swiss league, where he has been a point-per-game player in 6 games. 2019 fourth-round selection Matej Blomel is playing in his home Czech Republic after being drafted out of the United States Hockey League. He's up to 4 points in 6 games in the same league that he scored just 5 points across 31 contests last year. Patrick Russell, Adam Cracknell, both pointless so far in Denmark, and Cooper Marody so far only 1 game that he's seen in Austria.
There you go. That is our Oilers Prospect Report for jamesh.brown.com. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with the one and only George LaRocque when we return.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.